truly need the Lord always in our life. I tell you, when you stand up here before the people, and the burden of something to say, you want it to be from the Lord. And we really need the Lord to help us this morning. Appreciate being able to be here with the saints again here, Brother Roger. It's good to serve the Lord. I am so grateful for salvation this morning. I recommend it to everyone. And I thought many times, I wish sometimes, not because I just want to speak to a big crowd, but I'd like everybody to hear, try salvation. Try living for the Lord. Not just a superficial, you know, a lot of people can say I'm a Christian. We claim to be a Christian nation, but the evidence is pretty poor. But I thank the Lord for what we do have, and this being the 4th of July here in the United States, we recognize it as part around the birth of the nation, around July 4th, 1776. I know there's a lot of preliminary things that got involved in that. A lot of things, but folks, you look back and read history, there's one of the things that is peppered throughout history is there were people that sought the Lord back then. When they looked toward the Lord for the guiding principles of this new nation, they sought for the Lord's guidance, and they looked for guiding documents that would preserve our freedoms. And I'll tell you, also along with freedoms, there's responsibility goes with those freedoms. And when followed, I believe the Lord is behind much of those documents that was put out for that has preserved this nation. It's not just a document, but there is a God that has been honored. And I will tell you also, just like the Scripture says, when a nation that would begin to forget God, that nation is doomed for failure. And we are reaping some of the consequences of a populace that has begun for years now to push God in the background. And without doubt, we will reap the consequences unless we mend our nation's ways. But there is yet a God. And I thought of the song that was just sung, and young people, I really appreciate that song. It's time to pray, my brother. And I know, as the Chorus says, there's talking about many things we trusted in are crumbling to decay, and we can affix our thoughts and our attention on those things, and it can be depressing. I know that. But it's time to pray. It's time to turn your hearts toward God. Many things we trusted in are crumbling to decay, but it's time to get on our knees and pray. And I believe there is the answer, and ensconced within that action of coming to the Lord and seeking Him with all of our heart, I believe there's the answer for our life and hope for tomorrow. I thought in the Scripture, once in a while, you find a place where somebody, they said they stood up and they blew a trumpet. You see, I mean, when they blew a trumpet, you know what that meant? That wanted some attention, wanted people, let's come together. Got a plan. Have you ever seen sometimes young people get together, and maybe you get together and the activities kind of slow down and everybody. Then pretty soon somebody says, hey, why don't we go play? Why don't we go do? Suggest something. Kind of blew a trumpet. Say, let's do this. Sometimes we find ourselves a little bit in limbo. Come to a stage of history where what do we do now? We're kind of sitting here marking time. I want to tell you the answer is found not in just simply new ideas, but in seeking God. We can come up with a lot of human new ideas that may give interest to us for a while, but they will lose interest. There is one tried path that has worked from the beginning to now. You remember the one who walked with God and was not? What was his answer? He walked with God. He was translated because he was the friend of God. He walked with God. And that's still the answer today. We can come up with a lot of... I'm not opposed to doctrine, folks. We can come up with a lot of things we can talk about. But unless you know the author of the doctrine will mean very little to you. And it is of utmost importance that we as individuals, in the day we live in today, recognize the great need of getting down on our knees and talking with the author until we know the sweet sound of His voice, until we're convinced beyond shadow of doubt that my God reigns. And it lends then to us purpose and direction of life that we desperately need. It's not something that just excites, but it's something that motivates. Something gives purpose. Takes young lives. I know sometimes when you're raised around this, sometimes you can get so accustomed to the process or to the system. I'm interested in asking you today, don't just get enamored with the process or a system. There is a God. And He wants to be your personal God. Without that, the system doesn't mean anything. So I want to encourage us all today, wherever we are, to get acquainted with the author. Because without that, you become wandering and aimless. But there is a God that can take us safely through the times we're living in today. Where it looks like sometimes things crumble to decay. And we look at the nation and we should be concerned. I'm not saying not to be concerned. We should carry a burden. We look at things happening around in the church world and we're concerned and we should be concerned. Carry a burden for it. But folks, the answer is found when we come before the Lord with all of our heart and seek His face and feel Him pouring Himself within our bosom. And then we come out of our prayer closets with something inside. And we find another brother and sister who's also been in their prayer closet. And then Monarch turns into something more than a social gathering. Because we come together and we've been talking to the Lord, carrying our burdens before the Lord, and He pours back into us His burden for who we are, His vision for our future. And He's got one. It's not hanging in limbo, folks. He's got a burden. He's drawing a trumpet today. Holiness. Godliness is still right for you and I today. It still works in lives. It'll still cause families to be right. It'll still cause the blessing of the Lord to be on our lives. It will do it. And it's right and it's good. And once we follow that with all of our heart, there will be something special that will be birthed within our bodies, within our lives, within our families, within our congregations and at Monarchs and our camp meetings. There will be something come alive. And that's where we need to seek it. Not just at Monarch, but in our prayer closets at home, where it is birthed within our own souls. It's of utmost importance. And I want to encourage you today, let this go beyond the theory of just what's being said. But will you go home and practice it? I'm asking you today, challenging you today by the mercy of God that you go home and practice seeking His face till He comes and reigns righteousness in your life. And then see what Monarch's like. The wet woods all of a sudden dried out. And it's ready for the blaze. And Monarch will catch fire. I'm not being accusatory. But I want to tell you, if you want to feel the blessing of the Lord in our services, this is the way to do it. It's not through a new innovative way of manipulating people. It is through the good old-fashioned way of getting in touch with the author. And the fire, the baptism of the altar is still alive and true today. Well, I would like for us to turn over here into 2 Chronicles. We have a story here about Asa. Asa came into being a king in a time when there had been much failure. There had been a lot of letting go. There had been a lot of loss of vision. I will tell you today, I'll use a scripture you've heard a lot of times, without a vision, people will perish. People perish. It's important for you and I to have not just a human vision, but a spiritual vision. One that is inspiring to my soul. One that gives me purpose and direction. And we need that today. Without that, you will feel aimless, and your zeal for the things of God will end up being diminished, and you'll lose courage and lose purpose. You'll become lackadaisical. Do you see that happening sometimes around us today? It takes more than a revival that we call a series of messages. It takes more than it. Those messages may be good, and the revival might be a good thing. But what's really best is when we let the Lord revive us. This is my theme. Revive us personally. That's where it's got to be. It's not a pep talk. It's a reaction. It's something of the Lord working in our heart, divinely working in our heart. Asa came into authority as a king during a time when there had been much decay, much demise in the kingdom. People had lost vision, had lost her direction, had turned away from God. And here comes Asa, 15th chapter, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, will you be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. And if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Sounds like quite a situation they was in. Well, not a good one. We need direction. We need purpose. We need inspiration. That was all lacking, had fallen down to demise. But when they, in their trouble, did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. Notice the key? We all want to find the Lord. We need that. But you notice what they did to find Him. When Israel, in their trouble, they turned to the Lord. We ask always that, Lord, look at us. Oh, it's time for us to look at the Lord. Because you see, it's in this act of looking at Him, we behold the glory of the Lord. Beholding His glory as in a glass, we are changed into His image. This is a process. This is what's necessary. It's not trying to manipulate God to hear my cry. It's us to get ourselves seeking His face, and He will hear our cry. When they sought Him, He was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were on all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Sometimes do you wonder why things are going on? Do you ever think that God might be trying to wake up America? I believe He is. And it would be awfully good if we did. But it appears to me that those who would not hear the voice of God are getting more entrenched and seeking authority and power more and more. And if that continues on, we are indeed in trouble. But let me again, in the middle of the melancholy thoughts that you have right now and the worry about tomorrow, let me tell you there is still a King. there is still a God who was able, back when the Romans ruled with a hard hand, He was able to make Paul and Peter and James and John, He was able to make them stand strong and victorious in that day. All they had great grace was upon them. You remember that? He hadn't changed with His great grace, folks. I want to tell you, when sometimes it seems like the room is the darkest, a little light is some of the, seems the brightest, doesn't it? I want to encourage you today to get a hold of God until He lights your candle. Until your candle is burning in this day we live in. Because the people that are neighbors sometimes and maybe live a lifestyle that seems so abhorrent, they still need to see the light. They still need to see a God who works in human lives. Many times it's not our duty to browbeat them. In fact, that's not what we should do at all. But I want to tell you the strongest message many times is when you live it by the grace of God and the Lord puts things, lets you go through some things that He Himself is putting His little city up on a hill. You ever notice that? He puts it up on a hill. You know why He put it up on the hill? Because He wanted it to be seen. You know how He does that many times? He does it sometimes through the afflictions that you go through. He wants people to notice how the grace of God is good and at work and able to keep. He's doing that, so don't put a bushel over your candle. Don't put a bushel over that light. Get a hold of God, though, so He can glorify Himself. Those people need to be saved, folks. And they're looking at you and I and see, does it indeed work? Or is there actually no hope? They have seen many a failure, but they want to see something that works in people's lives. Let's not diminish that in any way. There was vexations. There was all kinds of things going on back. A nation was destroyed, a nation, city to city. God did vex them with all adversity. I wonder why. He was trying to do this to get their attention, get them to turn around. Be ye strong, therefore. He's talking. This prophet now is talking to Asa. He says, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Asa, go ahead, be faithful now. There's something stirring in your heart. You're recognizing there's some things here. You know things of godliness and righteousness that you're feeling inspiration toward. And you know that the people's hearts, they've been going to the idols, to the groves. They've been worshiping these things. And Asa, you know that if you go against this, that you may lose the hearts of the people. Isn't this what's going through your mind now? But Asa, I want you to be strong. Do what's right. In the face of opposition and doubts. Oh, but if we as a saint, if we stand for righteousness, for holiness, for godliness, don't you know we're going to lose numbers? Isn't that what we hear? Yeah. Folks, there's people wanting to serve God out there. There are people out around in Christendom that are sick of the demise of Christendom. And there are many a person looking for somebody. Is anybody going to be real anymore? Does anybody really believe God? A note was passed to us not that long ago by some Amish people. They had had a letter written to them saying, do you know anybody who still believes in anointing and praying for the healing of sick? We find it in the Scripture, but we can't find anybody who practices it. Do you know anybody? And they passed it to us. Because they didn't believe it. They didn't follow that, but they knew that we did. Folks, let's not leave what is said in the Scripture. Let's not leave it behind. The God, not just what's said in the Scripture, but what we find in our prayer closet. The convictions that we get from the Lord. Let them be sure and true in our lives. Let's not let them slip. Strengthen your hand. Yea, be strong in the Lord. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Do it God's way at whatever cost it may seem. Whatever doubts might seem to arise in your mind. Oh, if we do it that way, nobody understands me anymore. If I stand for the truth anymore, it seems like the laws of the land are starting to encroach more and more on just true righteousness. What the nation used to easily accept as being right is being turned on its head. You and I, just for standing for it, at some point in the future, we may well have to answer for it in court of law. Will you do it? Or will you stumble and say, I don't know, it's not worth it. If it's not worth it, then you haven't been spending enough time in the closet of prayer. I want to tell you, when you get acquainted with the author and you behold his glory is in a glass, there's a different type of force. It's not just bullheadedness in that's going to carry you through. It's conviction that I've got a God. I've got one that has given his all for me, and I in turn will give my all back to him. Whatever you said, Lord, I'll trust you. Take me through it, Lord. It wasn't bullheadedness that caused Polycarp to go to the stake. No, it wasn't. He said, I've served him, I forget how many years, and he's never done me wrong. He's always been good to me. How can I turn him back now? You see, God wants to establish that in every one of our lives. Young people, he wants to establish that in your life. He wants to be real enough to you that when you go out and face opposition, that you turn your eyes to the cross and you're captivated by the love you find there. And you say, I can't turn back. I can't turn back. There's something that's got hold of me. And I love him back. I will not turn from this. I appreciate that song. It's been one of the songs I've held to. Now, just after I got saved, it was burning on my heart. It was at number 223. I mean to go right on. And I still do. And that song still means a lot to me. But it's going to take more than just human determination. It's going to take an anchor that goes clear on past human determination and sees the cross and brings convictions back to us. So don't get me wrong, I'm not denigrating that song. I still think it's very special. I've preached about it, and I'll tell you today, I still mean to go right on. I want the devil to know that. I want everybody to know that. I intend to go on. I don't care what comes my way. If I have to crawl, I want to get there. But what gives me the real strength to go on and crawl is what I see hanging on the cross yonder. And what he did for me, it has broken down my resistance and has birthed within my soul a determination that I'll crawl when nothing else seems right to do. I'll still go on. I'll still go on. And again, it's more than just bullheaded determination. Though I believe good determination, I be determined. But there's something calls to me over yonder. Makes me want to go on. Young people, sometimes when we wonder about tomorrow and what will happen and what's your future, what are you really going to buy into? Is this worth it? I can sit here and tell you, yes, it is. And it's true. It's true it is. But my words will not be enough to keep you. But oh, young people, if you get alone with the Lord and give Him your all, I think of Brother Mark Sammons, man that had given himself to the world. Evil had gotten hold of him. And he was sick of evil. You see, everything, his world crumbled around him. Health was going down. Things were failing. Everything was failing. And he came and got saved. Out of the world, ignorant man, didn't know anything about the truth. You say, well, how did he become such an iconic preacher? Let me tell you how he did that. It wasn't through his own personal ambition, folks. It was through his desire to serve God. Something happened to him at an altar. He exchanged himself for God. He was sick of the old man. The old man was done. He was sick of what the old life had brought him. And he came down there and he gave himself all to the Lord. You want to ask me if Brother Salmon's walked up from that moment, got it from that moment, and everything was perfect the rest of his life. I want to tell you, no, it didn't happen that way, and it won't happen like that in your life. But he sought godliness. And he sought righteousness, and the Lord led him in a path of holiness. And I want to tell you, as he followed on to know the Lord was rich in his life and changed him. And this is the key. He gave himself wholly to the Lord. And this is the key that the Lord asks you young folks to do in your life. To give yourself completely and wholly to the Lord. He will work and make a precious life in the future for you. Sometimes we get this idea that I get saved and kind of go along with kind of the system. You're going to have to get out of the system. You're going to have to give your all to the Lord. There's a difference. It's a difference. If you want to just go along with the norm and say, well, the saints have always taught this, and maybe what the saints has always said is good. I'm not denigrating that in any way. I believe what the saints have taught is good. But all you've got to understand, you've got to get beyond just the system of what the saints have taught. You're going to have to get a hold of the God who taught them that. And give your all to Him until His inspiration bubbles up within our heart. There is a fountain then of living water begins to flow out of you. And you come and the Lord begins to inspire thoughts, begins to inspire messages to your heart. And young folks, I'm praying that the Lord will take you and use you. I'm praying that the Lord will start giving some messages to some of you young folks. Doesn't have to be 30 minutes. Doesn't have to be an hour. It can be sometimes Wednesday night standing up. Say, this is what the Lord has shared with me. Share it. Give it. I've been praying the Lord will inspire young folks to purpose. There's a godliness and there's a righteousness that's meant for your generation today and tomorrow. And I want to blow a trumpet to you today and tell you there is a God who wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. There is a God who wants to inspire your heart. And I want to call to you today and ask you to give your all to the Lord, just like our predecessors have, the Brother Salmons, those who have lived righteously and godly before us, those who went all the way to the end. I want to ask you to give yourself wholly to the Lord, just like they did, just like Enoch did, just like Moses did, just like Abraham did, just like our forefathers, just like Peter and John did. They left their nets, folks. They left it all and followed Jesus. I want to ask you to do that today. Come to the point that you consecrate your life to the Lord. Give it all to the Lord. And no, you're not going to always know. You're not going to know right now what all that is, but purpose to follow on to know. Purpose to follow on in the ways of godliness. Seek His face and let Him inspire your heart. Some of us have grown old and gotten accustomed to a pattern of just living. Sometimes that pattern's not, I'm not saying that's wrong. But I believe the Lord would like to inspire us fresh. I believe there's an enlivening that the Lord would like to do in our hearts. More than just settling down on our knees and getting to the point that we feel like, well, I'm just kind of settled in here. Well, thank the Lord for some stability, but we need to go beyond just being stable. We need to become active. You need to be stable, lively stones. Be stable in the things of the Lord, but be alive also. Don't just anchor down right there and begin to settle in the dust. God wants you and I to be alive and active. Something we need to have some trumpets being blown. There needs to be some purposes being spoken about. This is the way we do it, young folks. We serve the Lord. Oh, but that's a message we've heard so long. It's just gotten old. It's not old to you if you seek the Lord with all your heart and you feel His inspiring, His inspiration in your heart. It's not an old message. It may have been around for a while, but it's still new and fresh and renewed in our hearts. God wants you and I today to seek Him with all of our heart till He comes down and reigns that righteousness in our heart and inspires us for duty and purpose of life. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, he took courage and put away the abominable idols. Folks, sometimes, I know this talking about abominable idols, some things that the Lord finds when He goes to work in your life, and He gets looking around. You know, we give ourselves to the Lord. Lord, take me. Oh, Lord, I want to be like You. Lord, mold me and shape me. Lord, work in my heart. And the Lord hears that cry. You see, when we call to Him like that, He turns His face toward us. And He begins to take us. And then He looks at us. And He begins to uncover. And we start finding things in there that, well, I didn't realize that was abominable. I didn't realize that was objectionable. But now I begin to become aware that this is something that the Lord was putting His finger on in my life. And He would like for us to remove that. Not have such an affinity toward it. And many times those things aren't necessarily, they don't stand up and say, "Hello, I'm evil." They don't say that. But they come in forms of appealing things that come into our lives, sneak into our lives, and begin to take, sap away sometimes the very foundation of our spiritual walk with the Lord. Begin to detract from it. Oh, I was talking with Brother Sonny Reeves last night, just a minute as he was going outside. He said, How you been doing? I said, I've been busy. I realized when I said that I've used that word just so much. And generally, whenever somebody asks me about how you doing, that is one of my pat answers. I've been busy. And I have been. You know what he said? He said, you know, sometimes that's a trap of the devil. Brother Sonny was right. Brother Sonny was right. You know, we can get ourselves so busy with the cares of this life. And it's not evil. The things I've been doing aren't evil. But I want to tell you, we can get so carried away with some things that they begin to seep in and will undermine the foundation of real spirituality or purpose in our life. We can get detracted. Amen. Oh, I hope it takes. Sometimes, like I told Brother Sonny last night, I said, I don't know how to take your advice, but I believe it's good advice. God help us not to be so carried away with the cares of this life that we don't take the proper time to serve God. Now, serving God means more than just being saved. Service is an action. Service. He came and He saved me. He delivered me. He forgave my sins. And that's salvation. But service is when I do what He asked me to. I want to be His love slave. I want to be one who has been captivated so much by His touch that I willingly lend my ear to the doorpost and say, Lord, you remember that story. I hope everybody does. Where the servant was able, after so many years, he was able to go free. But if he didn't want to go free, if he said to his master, you've treated me so well, I'm one of the family now, and I want to prove you put a mark in this ear. And he leaned his ear to the ear post, and they drove an awl through the ear, marking him for life. I want to willingly lend my ear to the doorpost, say, Lord, mark me for life. I want to be your servant. I want to encourage you. In this day we live in today, Let the Lord revive your spirits. Let the Lord renew your vision. Let the Lord help you to understand what tomorrow, the direction He's going, not the direction people are going, but go the direction of the Lord. Seek righteousness. Seek His holiness. That still works in 2013. And will work when it turns, if the Lord gives His time and it turns into 2014. I remember years ago I was thinking, well, I'll never see 2014. Heard people talk about things they had planned. The government had something planned for 2025. And I thought, that'll never get here. But you know what? One year after another, it's getting here. I don't know how long time ago. And I've been one of those who said, looks like time is sure winding down. So we ought to be careful. But I don't know how long time will go. But I want to tell you that whatever time the Lord gives us, He is able to help you. In all the changing, decaying world we live around, He's able to keep you true and faithful in the time you live in. Young folks, listen to that. Please, anchor in that. The Lord is able to keep you all the way to the end. Be strong. And Asa heard these things, he took courage, and he put away the abominable idols out of the land, out of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken. You know, right prior to this, the Lord had given him victories there, and he had taken some of these cities. I think it was the Ethiopians, I believe, had come against him, and he took some of these cities and had a lot of spoil. You know, folks, when you get some victories in your life, you'll notice a lot of spoil that you get from that. When you face hard trials and you come through it on the other side, you get some spoils. And you're not the only one that gets some spoils. Wednesday night prayer meeting, everybody else will get some of your spoils too. Because you're going to get up and say, this is what the Lord did. Look over here and saw Sister Diane. Just, it brought some memories to my mind. We grew up in the same congregation as young people together for a time anyway. And I'm going to tell you something I gleaned from one of her testimonies. One time, she had some desires. And she wanted it. And she read in the Scripture, said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Naturally, in our human desires, we think, well, then I get, it's kind of like a vending machine. If I put my quarter in over here, delight myself in the law of the Lord, I can punch so many buttons and out comes what I want. She found out differently than that. I hope I'm going to tell your story right. If I don't, you can correct me. But this is the way I remember her story going. As she delighted herself and began to seek the Lord in His ways, she found such pleasure in dealing and seeking the Lord and the sweet communion that she had. She came to Wednesday night prayer meeting one time and told us how she had been doing this with the Lord. And now the things that she had desired before had changed. The Lord had given her the desires of her heart. You see? Notice how it works. You delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And I want to tell you, folks, when we go through some trials, when we get some victories, we conquer some cities, we're going to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and leave testimonies like that that still bless me years later. And I pass it on in messages more than once. Because the Lord did something for somebody. He Himself divinely communed with the soul. A hungry young person seeking righteousness. And revealed truth. That when I heard it that Wednesday night, when she got up and testified about that, I remember how it rung true in my soul. As a young person right along with her, it rang true in my soul and I knew it was right. And I've known it be right ever since. You see, God's not somebody that we're to manipulate. God's somebody that we're supposed to emulate. Be like Him. Yes. Amen. Asa got some victories. He conquered some cities and had some spoil. And you young folks, when the Lord gives you some victories and gives you some spoil, come to Wednesday night and share the spoil. Get up and tell, I don't care. You all know Brother Dan Adams. He and I both seem like we'd get up and try to say something. I would stutter or stammer around, and he'd get up and do more crying, and I'd do more crying too. He'd get up and do more crying. And we'd get both feel embarrassed and sit down. Feel like, what did we do? Just made big fools out of ourselves. I want to tell you, you keep on. You keep right on. You give some spoils. The Lord's giving you some spoils. Even if you're saying it with tears, people understand that the Lord's been blessing you. And it helps some of us younger folks, some of us older folks, when you younger ones get a hold of it and you come and you don't even know how to say it very well. I want to tell you, when I hear you saying that, it makes this older fella, I just thrilled to hear you telling me what the Lord's been doing. Amen. You want to make your pastor feel good? You come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and tell him how the Lord's been working in your life. He's going to be thrilled. Amen. There's nothing he wants to hear any better than to see young folks getting a hold of this thing. And you young folks, I want to encourage you. I've been blessed when I see you young folks getting hold of the things of the Lord. Oh, you keep right on. I want to see you keep right on. It encourages me. And I want to tell you I appreciate that. I want to see you keep right on in that endeavor. And if you find lacks, you find places that you're not quite there, seek Him. The Lord will not leave you comfortless. He will come and visit you. He will come and give you special anointing. Look for the anointing on your life. Ask Him for it. He'll do it. Anyway, I know I keep deviating here. But Asa got these victories, had these towns, had a lot of spoil. Went the abominable idols. Where was it? Lost my place. Asa heard the words, the prophecy of Obed, the prophet. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land, out of Judah, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord. Notice this, he renewed the altar of the Lord, that place where he sought God, the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin. See, these are people that should be under his domain, Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim. And Manasseh, these are people who were not under his authority. What caused them to decide to leave and come to him? What caused these strangers? What appealed to them? Listen. Now, next time the devil comes along and tries to tell you that if you live this way, nobody wants it anymore. If you preach this way, it doesn't appeal to anybody anymore. Notice this. He did it right. Asa was doing it right. He went after the things that were causing destruction, the idols. He went after these things because they were attacking righteousness. And he went after them now. Oh, but in his mind, I imagine you thinking, but a lot of people, they've been worshiping there. I'm disrupting their lives. And shouldn't there we use maybe wisdom? Let's get a council together. Let's talk about it and try to ease our way into this thing. I know there's a place for human wisdom, but folks, there's a time, there's a place just to act and do what's right. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel. You see, he was king of Judah. He wasn't king of over Israel. This was a divided kingdom.
that came to him and fell to him out of Israel in abundance. When they saw, notice the difference. These were people longing for their God. Folks, there's people, again, I want to say it like this, out in nominal Christianity today, there are people that are sick of the act. I want to tell you, if you're acting here today, I'm sick of it here today too. I want something real. And I believe you're sick of it too. We've got to have the real action, the divine working of God in our hearts. When these people saw that the Lord was working over there in Judah and with that king, with that leader, then when they saw the Lord was working with them, what did they do? They said, we want to come over there and be with you. We want to come. I still believe there are people that want righteousness. Let's stand up and allow the Lord to light our candle. And we stand as a city that is set on a hill. Let's don't put the bushel over our candles. Let's stand there true. Don't make excuses for righteousness. If it's God's way, I don't mean be cruel with it, but just stand for righteousness in the kindness and the glory of God. They fell to him out of Israel in abundance. And when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him, they fell to him in abundance when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. And they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their hearts, and with all their soul, that whosoever should not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. This was a pretty solemn covenant, wasn't it? I don't believe the Lord would be interested in us trying to get together and say, let's all do it this way, and those who don't, let's just get rid of them. That's not our purpose here today. But it is the purpose of God that we come together in covenant within our heart. And it's good for us to make vows to each other, folks. Vow to one another. I want to serve God with you. I remember when I was first saved, and I had had a history of, I had been saved in my youth before and given up and been kind of back and forth, unstable. And when I got saved for that last time, I remember when Monarch ended and some of the young folks that was serving the Lord too and been maybe saved during that Monarch, we would get together and look each other in the eye and say, let's keep what we got. Next meeting, in fact, I told one of them, I said, next time I see you, I'm going to ask you how you're doing. And I remember the next meeting, I think it was Guthrie's next time I saw it. It was a winter meeting at Guthrie. I went there and I saw the young man off at a distance, and I saw him walk in my direction. He wasn't hanging his head and looking the other direction. He wasn't kind of trying to avert my gaze. I was looking straight at him as he was looking straight at me. And the closer we came together, the smile was on our faces. And I said, how you doing? He said, I'm encouraged in the Lord. I want to tell you, folks, that's what we need some more of. I mean to go right on. This thing isn't meant to go from Monarch till midwinter or till when school starts. It's meant to go from now to the rest of our life. If you don't mean it like that, I want to ask you not to start. Because the Lord means it from till death do us part. That's His covenant with us. I'll be your God when you're with me. You give your heart all the way to me and I'll be with you. Oh, young folks, I want to encourage you. And this day we live in today, do it with all of your heart. You start for the Lord. Look over to others that have started for the Lord. Form bonds with each other encourage one another. You see, when two stand together, there's a certain strength. There, a cord made with just one strand is easily broken, but you bind cords together, it's a lot more difficult to break that cord. I'm sorry? Yes. May the Lord help us in this time we live in today that we'll be faithful and true and we'll encourage one another. Stand true and faithful to the Lord. All these folks started coming. They saw the Lord and they started coming together. They gathered themselves together at Jerusalem and they had this covenant that they made not only to the Lord but with each other. And they said that anybody doesn't want to do this, we're going to get rid of them. Well, today let's make some really strong covenants with the Lord. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. Listen to what this strong covenant. It's not meaning that, well, I'm making a covenant that within 5 years I'm going to be a preacher. That's not what he's asking you to make. He's asking you to make the covenant that I will follow the Lord wherever the Lamb leadeth. And if he leads into ministry, I say thank God. Because folks, we need some ministers. We don't need just any minister. We need a man of God. If you just want to be seen, that's not a very good way to be seen. But if you want to serve God and He's inspiring your heart to His service, there's a lot of places in the church of God that God wants to use you or needs to use you. I want to encourage you to give yourself. Oh, used to, there's a lot of times we'd have a consecration service where the Lord would inspire for a good consecration message and there would be a call. Anybody would come. Give your all. Young people, give your all to the Lord. You've heard that a number of times. I remember one time, I believe there was at Sepulpa, Oklahoma. Brother Austin Wilson was there holding a revival. And I heard that call while I was there. Went to that altar, meaning it with all my heart. I want to encourage you to hear that call too. Amen. When the Lord is calling to you, come, give your all without reserve. It's a good life. Consecrated, seek the Lord, God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpet and with cornet. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath that they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire. And He was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Folks, it's of utmost importance that we find God. It said He was found of them. We feel at loose ends, without purpose, without meaning, unless we have this anchor of finding God. We've heard people talk about seekers. Folks, we need to be a seeker. We need to seek God with all our heart. He was found of them. And I want to tell you, when you find the Lord, and when He answers the needs of your soul, and you feel the enriching of the Lord Himself working within your heart, exposing places maybe where idols had been set up, changes that He wants to make in your life, as He perfects that concerns you and I, as we grow in grace and the power of God, as we follow on to know the Lord, as we progress in the righteousness and holiness of God, and that's what the Lord wants to do in every one of us. I don't believe, you might try to tell me today, well, I've been saved 50-some years. The Lord's still wanting to progress in your life. He's wanting you to progress in righteousness. Amen. As you do that, and the Lord is found of you, oh, it will inspire your heart to purpose and righteousness. Purpose and righteousness. And young folks, I want to tell you, there is purpose. Sometimes right now you can feel like, well, where are we going? What are we doing? We feel like maybe everything I look around and see, change and decay, and all around I see, and the things we've trusted in are crumbling to decay. And don't get me wrong, I understand that there's many a person turn around and left the Lord. But that doesn't mean it has to be you. You know what? The best antidote to everything crumbling? You know what? There was a... Oh, Nehemiah. You remember that fella? Nehemiah, he asked about some visitors one time. He said, tell me about the walls. What does Jerusalem look like? And they shook their head and said, well, it's all fallen down. It's all crumbled. You know what Nehemiah did? He went and wept. And received a burden from the Lord. And he went back. And he walked around. Got the blessing of King Artaxerxes. First went back there. Took his mule at night. Looked around. And sure enough, it was all broken down. Things were crumbling. You know, it would have been the easiest thing for him to say, oh, I'm done too. I guess it's all done. It's over with. Too big. It's great work. I can't do it. You can't do it in your own strength, folks. But the best antidote to crumble and decay, the best antidote to that, is for you and I to get along with God and be inspired in our soul, and we come together and say, Lord, strengthen our hands to the work. Oh, Caleb. Looked like people were discouraged about the mountain. Remember where the giants were? Oh, looked like there's no way. We're going to have to take everything else, but that mountain we're going to have to leave alone. It's just too big. Caleb saw something more than just human effort, didn't he? He said, Lord, You said this mountain's mine, and I still want it. And though his arms and legs were now at least 40 years older than what they were when he first saw that mountain, I think he's somewhere around 84 years old, he said these arms still feel just as strong as what they were the first day I saw that mountain. I don't believe it was these arms. It was a God he still trusted in. And I want you to know, history and the Scripture bears out that he went and that mountain was his. I want to ask us today to look away from the crumbled walls. Look away from failure. Look away from what looks like our nation is crumbling round about us. My kingdom, he said, is not of this world. If you get your hope from this great nation we live in today, it'll fail you. But if your hope is anchored in one that hangs on Calvary, I said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If your hope is anchored in the one that goes before, riding on that white horse, conquering and to conquer, if your hope is anchored in Him, I want to tell you, He's able to take you right through this day of the Armageddon where people are losing and some are winning. Those who will not be denied. Amen. Those who have caught the vision and their conviction in their soul goes way beyond the saints have always taught this. Their conviction goes way beyond that. Their conviction anchors in what the Lord has driven down deep in my soul. Amen. And I'll do it at all costs. And they look at the mountain. It's full of giants. And the hunger for victory, the hunger for purpose, and the Lord is able to keep them and able to inspire their heart. In the day, as a scripture, I didn't look this one up, I'll just quote part of it. He said, in the day that you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found. That scripture didn't have an expiration date on it. That scripture is still there for 2013 and beyond. Clear to the end. May God help us. And I want to encourage you. There's hope for tomorrow. Look toward the cross. Find deep inspiration there. And as you behold the glory of the Lord there, you'll be changed.
Pray for me. I want to serve you.